again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3! Yeah! Northampton
have got it! Hello and welcome to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. My name's Charles and this week's Cobblers fixture sees us looking for revenge as we welcome Oxford United to Six Fields on Saturday. In a moment, we'll be joined by Oxford fan Simon. But first up, I must welcome my co-host for this week, Neil Edgerton-Scott. Thanks for filling in, mate, for Danny. He's not feeling too well. No COVID or anything like that. Just wanted a day on the sofa, I think, instead of doing teaching homeschool. Welcome to the preview show, Neil. You've not been here before. Are you enjoying it so far?
It's early days. Thanks for the welcome, but it's early days.
Early days.
Give me a few minutes to settle in. Unbelievable that you've invited me on for Oxford as well.
What do you mean?
You know how I feel about Oxford overall in general.
Well, yeah, I know. You're a scholar.
The one and only time that will ever be said in the same thing.
Absolutely. Well, look, there's a couple of things to chat about, really, before we go and speak to Simon. First off, very, very quickly, Neil. Cobblers nil, MK2, Danny distraught that he can't go and eat pizza on Wembley Way.
He's not had a good couple of days, has he? I like to think that's why he's sick. He's after exiting the pizza cup, he's gorged himself on pizza. And he's got a case of the dairy, shall we say, a dairy intolerance.
It's got a case of the dairies. Yeah. I don't know where that was going.
No,
I know what you mean.
Dangerous
but I don't
territory understand. As well, isn't it?
Yeah, very. Yeah. Absolutely. I think the least said about that game, the better, isn't it? We weren't very good, were we?
Well, you ridiculously stumped up £10 of your hard-earned pennies to watch it, didn't you? I made what in hindsight is a very smart decision not to pay any money to watch that trash, basically.
I did. You're right. I 10 days. We hadn't played for 10 days.
It
I kind
that.
Of felt like
there's been such a gap. Football. You thought maybe things have changed. Maybe we've got better.
No, I didn't think that.
Oh, right.
I didn't think that. I just missed feeling annoyed and frustrated and angry. So I thought I'd give myself an evening of pleasure.
That feeling back.
It's a bit like S&M, isn't it, watching the Cobblers? You don't really know if you're enjoying it. It's more inflicting pain on yourself than anything.
Hey, we had a shot on target, though, didn't we?
We did. We did have a shot on target. You are quite right. Do you know, right? I know that there's loads going on at the moment within the fan base about how entertaining it is. We've talked about it loads of times, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I've always kind of said, you know, look, I agree the football isn't entertaining, but there's a means to an end kind of thing. And I've understood that and I've been happy to go along with it the way that it is at the moment this season. There's a job to do, so let's just get on with and do that however it happens. But I felt like it was a completely toothless display on Tuesday night. We just didn't... Was it you who said in our WhatsApp conversation that essentially they just didn't look bothered? They just kind of went, oh, it's a nothing trophy. As much as we say it in public that we're in it to win it, don't really care.
And I think it was Danny. I wasn't watching it. I didn't even listen on the radio. I followed on Twitter, but could kind of see what was coming. This is what happens, isn't it, under Keith Kerr. We have a couple of half-decent results where you think, oh, we've turned the corner, and then it's back to the dross.
Yeah, the thing that annoyed me, and I won't necessarily blame Curl 100% for this. I think the players have an awful lot to take on the blame here for, and that was the fact that especially the entire of the first half essentially went this way. So if an MK player defender picked the ball up in front of their box, then absolutely nothing would happen to them. In fairness, I don't think we actually breathed on an MK player until they got about 30 yards away from our goal. And then when we get the ball, you know, from our own 18-yard box, what's happening? We're being put under pressure by the MK attackers. And 9 times out of 10, we either give it back to them by kicking it down to their goalkeeper, or it gets kicked out for a throw. Or we cough up possession there and then. It's so frustrating because actually when we started doing that in the second half, we had that a little spell at the beginning of the second half. We were doing that to MK, and MK were just as bad as us. But we just gave them the ball and said, there you go, do what you want, see what happens. That's what frustrated me. It's the fact that we just didn't seem to... I don't want to say we didn't put any effort in or we didn't try, but essentially that's what it felt like, was that we just didn't try and that we weren't bothered.
I think the problem is we're not very good, Charles. There's a...
there is that.
There was a brilliant clip. I can't remember who it was that shared it on Twitter. But it was, this sums up Cobblers perfectly. There was a couple of passes around about our 18-yard box, or just sort of in between the centre circle and our 18-yard box.
It was their 18-yard box. We were on the attack.
No. It must have been a different clip I saw.
Okay.
It was slightly further back, slightly further back, and then it went to Bolger, and he booted it off.
Yeah, I thought that was the one where we were on the attack. The ball got sort of passed back to Bolger, who was just inside the MK half. And basically, instead of going all the way back to the keeper, he just decided to sort of lump it forward and no one was there at all. A couple of really good, decent passes, keeping possession, and then Bolger just went, have it.
Playing for the yards, playing a form of rugby. That's the problem.
Absolutely, playing for territory. Anyway, hopefully, today's news, we're recording on Thursday night this week, and a couple of signings have been made by Keith Curl, and it turns out he's been after these two boys for about, well, since the day they were born is the way that it feels like what's being said. So Mikel Miller has come in on loan from Rotherham, and Ryan Edmondson has signed on loan from Leeds United. Happy about those signings, Neil?
On the face of it, you can only... I haven't seen either of them play. I've seen a couple of clips of Mikel Miller when he was up in Scotland, because we've been chasing him for quite a long time, haven't we? So I've seen a little bit of him, but not by all means. I haven't watched him play a full game or anything. And when you see any sort of clips, it's obviously the showreel, isn't it? So everyone looks great. Even Alistair Slow looked great on his show, really. I think on the face of it, they're two of the more impressive signings that we, in our position, the style of football we play, where we are in the league, how much money we've got, we would have struggled to get and attract a much better quality of player, I think. Certainly in Miller's case, because by all accounts, when you look on Twitter and the Rotherham forum and stuff, a lot of them are kind of a bit confused why he's been let go, and said whenever he's played he's been brilliant. So I think their manager has come out and said that he needs to go out and get some games, and he doesn't quite fit the system they play, which interestingly is the same system we play. So
yeah, I thought that
it's going to be an interesting one, isn't it?
Let's see. Keith Curl's going to turn up with a 4-3-3 on Saturday, and we're just going to go, oh my word, what's going on?
We'll lose 6-0 instead of 4-0.
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing was that I think I saw somebody on, it might have been Gareth in our Slack actually, who said, all of his showreel that the club release was him scoring goals for Cashelton, who obviously is the same team that Ricky Corboa came from, and his showreel looked pretty impressive, and look what's happened to him this season.
I think that's an unfair comparison. I mean, Corboa came to us directly from Cashelton, didn't he, and has never played in the league, and is it completely raw, whereas Miller's been, he's played up in, was it Hamilton he played for in Scotland? I'm not sure that counts as professional football, actually, does it? But so maybe not the best example.
I mean, that's worse than Charlton.
Maybe not the best example. But Rotherham, by all accounts, he's been in and around Rotherham. He has played some games for them, and he looks like he's impressed. I think the key thing is he's got some pace.
Yeah, crying out for that, haven't we? And to be fair, I think that's a really good thing. And I do like the fact that we've known about Mikel Miller for a while, haven't we, in terms of we've heard that name. He's been on the rumour mill for coming to Northampton for at least probably the last, what, year, 18 months or so?
Feels like.
He's been linked with us.
Feels like the Malcolm Christie saga, doesn't it?
Yeah, except this time we actually got our
man. He actually came through, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good signing on paper, as you say. We do have to see him perform, first of all, before we can really make any assumptions, good or bad. Ryan Edmondson coming in from Leeds. Target man, it seems. I mean, certainly judging by the picture that I've seen of him today, where I think he was on loan at Aberdeen, wasn't he, for the first half of this year?
He was up there with Ash Taylor, wasn't he? Having a nice time.
be nice to hear his thoughts on how he could skin Ash Taylor in training. That'd be fun. But the picture that I saw of him, he looked absolutely huge. He was next to a defender, like basically he was taking the defender on, and he looked about twice the size. Now, fine, there could be, you know, dimensions or the camera angle isn't quite showing. Maybe the defender was 300 meters away from him. I don't know. But
300 meters? What sort of pitch are they playing on?
Huge one. But, you know, it's I did think, oh, he's very, very big. Is this the end of Harry Smith?
Well, let's hope so.
Oh, that's harsh.
Is it?
Well, wow.
Go back to the discussions we've had on the weekly pod before. Danny compared him to a tree.
Yeah, he did.
I compared him to the lift tower.
Yes, that's true as well, actually.
And he is not good enough. Like, look, I know we always have to caveat this. We're only purely talking about his footballing ability. We're not talking about him as a person. Like, I'm sure he's a lovely guy, and he comes across as a decent guy in interviews and all that sort of stuff. But as purely as a footballing ability for what we need and what you'd expect for someone of his size, it's not good enough. He's not good enough to play in League One.
Fair enough.
He contributes very little.
Okay. Well, Edmondson's in. Decent signing again, I think, on paper. Leeds rate him quite highly. He came through the youth academy at Liverpool as well, I think. I might be completely wrong in that, actually, thinking about it. But I'm going to leave that in, because if I'm wrong, someone will tell me. Right, let's move on. This weekend's opponents are no strangers to us, as it feels like it was only a couple of weeks ago that they hammered us 4-0 and sent Cobblers' social media and Neil into meltdown. Joining us now to explain just how they've turned their season around is Oxford fan Simon from the Fence End Pod. Hi, Simon. How are you?
I'm very well, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you very much. So I mentioned it there, but you had a very slow start to the season, didn't you?
We did.
What was that all about?
I think it's a little bit to do with a couple of factors. One, a bit of a hangover from the playoff final.
And... Sorry, I'm just going to tick that off my bingo sheet. Go for it. Yeah.
It took a while for the players to get that out of their system and just sort of concentrate on, okay, let it go, it's gone. And also the style of football we play, that might be on the bingo sheet as well. It's one of the reasons a lot of people felt we didn't do as well in the playoffs, because we'd not played for ages, and then you've got two semi-finals, home and away, to get back into the swing of a sort of a style of play that takes a little bit of gelling. And we ended up playing against Wickham, who, as you know, if you've seen Wickham play, you know it's not quite as complex, perhaps. And we just, they deserve to win. They won the game on the day. Fair enough. We'll let it go. But I think it's just that little bit of a style of play, a little bit of a hangover. You could kind of see what we were trying to do. And we lost loads of games 2-0, but we were, I don't think we ever really got absolutely hammered. And you could see what the players were trying to do, and it wasn't working. And then we went through a little bit of sort of November was hit and miss. We had some good results and poor results, and then a run of draws. And then we came up against you guys, and that was really the first time it had absolutely clicked. And first half wasn't great, to be fair, but second half, everything we did worked. And you could see it had been coming for a little while, in that you've just felt that we were starting to play a little bit, and players were getting used to each other. The new signings were getting used to it, and it just, it clicked. And since then, four games on the trot, we've won. And it's a shame that with various reasons, COVID and FA Cup games, we didn't play. We've not played since the 2nd of January in the league. So it's kind of a couple of weeks. We get going and then we've stopped again. So hopefully they'll be raring to go. But that's kind of the reason. We haven't started the seasons well under Carl Robinson. We've always been poor at the start of seasons, and then it gradually got better and better. So it looks like it's happening again.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, like you say, it did click into place for you, and it certainly seems to have done since then. Wimbledon at home, 2-0. Fairly comfortable result that. Away at Plymouth, 3-2. Maybe that's in terms of scoreline, at least on paper, looks like probably the most troubling of the games that you had in these last four. And then the last time out, you thrashed Burton away 5-1. It certainly does feel like it's clicked just looking at that. But then again, I'm kind of hoping that you've just scored all your goals in one big burst.
Yeah, we're scoring goals from everywhere. So one of the goals that we scored down at Plymouth was Sam Long, who's been at the club for forever. You know, as a youngster, he was there. He got into the side a couple of times and then got injured, and he's never really established himself. But because of injuries and all sorts of reasons, he's played at centre half at the start of the season. Then he's moved to right back, which is more his natural position. And he's kind of in the last month or so, he's turned into Cafu. You know, he's making these runs. He scored a goal at down at Plymouth, which he started the run in his own half, played a ball out to the right wing, carried on, pointed to where he wanted it, ball came in, and he finished beautifully through the goalkeeper's legs. And then I think on Saturday, Burton, he set two up and the other fullback scored two. It's been, it's quite weird that we've now got these sort of marauding fullbacks that are scoring goals and setting up goals. And it's like I say, we feel it's been coming, and you just hope it's going to carry on, like, you know, that way.
Well, you can hope. I mean,
obviously. Yeah.
We won't, but yeah. You've mentioned him already, Carl Robinson. What is it with you having knobheads for managers?
Well, you took one of the knobheads from us, didn't you? Yeah.
Well, you know, Sir Chris is not a knobhead, so leave him alone.
And to be fair, I think it's a bit like sort of, I don't know what age you guys are, but growing up, you know, it wasn't cool to like ABBA. But when you get older and you look back, you think, actually, they wrote some brilliant pop songs and they were, you know, great music. And I think Oxford fans there's been a bit of a revisionist thing with Chris Wilder in that he got us out of the conference, but then it all went sour. But I think in hindsight, we appreciate what he's done for us and what he did for us rather more now than perhaps we did at the time. And I think, you know, he's shown what he's done with Sheffield United, that he's clearly a manager that can do it at any level, pretty much. Not this season, but certainly last season. And I think he's, you know, as fans, we've kind of grown to like him more since he's been gone, in a way.
I think, in fairness, look, he left you for us, and you were in the playoff spots at the time.
Yeah.
And then he came to us and we were right down near the bottom of League Two. If it had been the other way around, we'd have been like that going, well, I can understand why he's gone to a team that are higher in the league looking to be maybe looking for promotion. But the way that it does seem a little bit odd that it happens in a footballing sense. Obviously, we've got no idea what the pay packet was and all of that side of it. But it was odd. So I can forgive Oxford fans for thinking and not having nice thoughts about him at that moment. It's nice to know that you can look back in hindsight and say he did do a good job. Because I agree with you. He did do a good job. He did what you needed to do, which was get out of the conference and back into the Football League, where you do belong as a football club. So I can get that. But Carl Robinson, let's just quickly talk about him. What's he like as your manager? We kind of know him from being MK's manager and now obviously being Oxford manager as well. I know he was at Charlton as well for a time and didn't do very well there.
Yeah, I think he is very much a Marmite character. You either love him or you hate him. And I think he's very much like a fan. He talks like a fan, which is fine if you're winning, you know, because everyone's happy and you can say stuff and it's positive. When things aren't going as well, he can, you know, you sometimes listen to post-match interviews and you're kind of holding your head in your hands and you're thinking, no, Carl, shut up. You're making yourself look stupid. And it's that emotional side of him, which when it's going well, like I say, you love it. And I guess that's how he is. You know, talking about other managers, you know, Chris Wilder was very emotional on the touchline. In between those two managers, we had Michael Appleton, you know, and he hardly said a word. You know, he just stood on the touchline, you know, looking intimidating to most people. but we loved him as well. And you knew what you were going to get with Michael. You know, there was never histrionics on the touchline, whereas you know, Carl Robinson kicks every ball, and he's a bundle of energy on the touchline, and it works for him. He gets players going. He falls out with players. You know, one of the players we signed in the summer, Sean Clare, who came in having been a sort of right midfielder, and he Carl obviously thought, well, I can turn him into a right back, and he couldn't. He really couldn't, because at the start of the season, Sean Clare was one of the players that was getting an awful lot of criticism because of the way he was playing. We were getting beat. He wasn't playing particularly well. Then sort of round about Christmas time, when Sam Long moved from centre-half, where he'd had to play because of injuries, he went back to his natural right-back position. Sean Clare kind of was in and out of the team as a sub, but was coming on more as a right-winger, playing really well. And then 2 days ago, we've let him go to Burton. And it's kind of, I think if you fall out with him, that's it, you're gone. I think he's done a lot of stuff sort of that's not been seen, you know, that's not around the games, if you like, you know, things around the club that he's done during lockdown and all things around mental health and that kind of thing that he's done really, really well. And I think he's kind of got, he's got some credit in the bank for the things that he's doing off the pitch.
So on the pitch then, obviously last season missing out on, well, the promotion, let's do it that way, losing to Wickham the way that you did. Obviously on paper, you should win that game. Was there anyone in your fan base, or was there a portion of your fan base that maybe wanted a change?
No, I don't think so. Not by the time lockdown had come. Like you say, we were about to play Wickham just before lockdown, and we'd gone on. You know, we were the last game we won at Shrewsbury with a last minute winner. That was five on the trot. We were, I think, if the season had gone on for a couple more weeks, you could see us being in the automatic places, and things might be very different. And Wickham were in free fall. It just so happened it stopped at the right time for them, and perhaps, and obviously, the wrong time for us. But hey, they're, you know, more important things than playing games of football. But no, I think he built a side that played nice football. You know, Oxford fans sort of demand, to an extent, decent football. We want to see attacking. You know, we've had a history of good wingers and attacking play and overlapping fullbacks and that sort of thing. Where, you know, you want to see nice football, attractive football, and he when it's going right, we see that. You know, it's possession based, but it's also when we break and we attack, we've got some pace in the side. So it is good to watch, to be fair. And I think, like I say, he's won a lot of the sort of doubters round over the last year or so.
So I mean, you've kind of hinted at it there in terms of playing style. What should we be expecting? More of the same from what we saw just before Christmas, or has it maybe evolved now through confidence?
A little bit, yeah. It has evolved, I think, because players are willing to take a bit of a risk because it's been working recently. I think that's the natural thing with, you know, we're supporters of third division football clubs, really, aren't we? You know, that and their players by their nature aren't going to be brilliant every week. They'd be playing at higher level if they were. So there was perhaps a time earlier on in the season where players didn't want to take a risk for fear of it not working. So we played the percentage ball and we kept possession nicely, but we never really looked dangerous. But I think we still do that. We still have, you know, players at the back and in midfield who are very comfortable on the ball, quite happy to carry the ball out. Rob Atkins, I don't like last season with Rob Dickey, who was a player that would quite happily carry the ball from centre half and you know, box to box midfielder. He ended up looking like Rob Atkinson, who's come in, looks in a similar vein. So we've got ball playing centre halves. We've got fullbacks who are quite happy to get forward. Good technicians in midfield, comfortable on the ball, and a reasonable amount of pace up on the, you know, out wide. So it's good to watch, and that's kind of how Carl plays. You know, he loves a winger. It looks like we might be looking at wingers to come in the transfer window. So yeah, more of the same, I think. More of the same. A good flowing attacking style of football.
Okay. Now every week I normally ask Danny to pick out a player from the opposition's squad. to basically just sort of pinpoint them and ask whether they are the threat and they are the big player. Now, I've got Neil here this week. And as I said before we started recording, Neil isn't one for really going outside of his cobbler's bubble. he did before say that he was going to go with Sean Clare, yeah. As is being his man to watch. Well, maybe for Burton now, yeah. But yeah. Who have you gone for, Neil?
I have gone for my 2 minutes preparation before we started recording. I've gone with Shadipo. I don't want to try and pronounce his full name because I've just pulled up his Wikipedia and he's got...
Please do it.
He's got five names. It's incredible. But on the base of it, he scored six or seven goals for Oxford this season. And he seems to be a threat. That's purely going, I'm going off his name, and I saw him score a really good goal the other day. I can't remember who it was against. So Shadipo is my man to watch. The obvious one is the other striker, the leading scorer, isn't it?
Matty Taylor. Yeah. Thoughts on that, Simon? Is Neil right, or can you rubbish him?
No. Shadipo's been... we got him on loan from QPR in the summer, and he's a raw left winger, good amount of pace, kind of right-footed. We seem to play the right footers on the left wing and the left footers on the right wing, so he can cut in and shoot, and he's done that quite effectively this season. There are times... going back to the game back in December, the first half he was poor, I thought, against you, but second half he came to life. And he's a young man learning the game. He'll have good games and bad games, but when he's on form, he is a threat. Whether he'll start or not, it's a different matter, because he's one of those, Carl Robinson seems to do this, where players play well one week and then they're on the bench the next week. He doesn't let them settle. We've perhaps got a core of, I'd say, maybe eight players that you know are going to start. And then there's that sort of two or three around them that it might be this one or that one. And he's one of those. And if he starts, he could be great. If he comes on, he could be great. Or, equally, he could start and be poor, but that's what you're going to get at this level. And he can be a match winner though, and he's certainly over the last few games looking more and more like a goal threat.
Oh, it'd be nice to have a match winner in the squad, wouldn't it, Charles?
Absolutely. Oh, it'd be lovely.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, dreams can come true. Gabriel, 1994. right. Well, look, to end the pod, every single week, Simon, we always do predictions for the game. We'll come to you last as our guest. I'm going to kick things off, and I'm going to say that we're going to get a reaction out of the Cobblers from Tuesday night's terrible performance against MK, and also a reaction to the fact that last time out, it was a 4-0 defeat from our perspective that just simply wasn't good enough. I'm going to go with the Cobblers win. I'm feeling optimistic. These two new players have got me thinking good things. So I'm going 2-0, and both of the new boys are going to score, Neil.
They'll both be on the bench. You know that, right?
Absolutely. But they can come off the bench and score, Neil.
Or Keith will bring them on at right wing back or something.
Here comes Ryan Edmondson in goal. Yeah.
Genuinely wouldn't be a surprise, would it? No. Interesting. You expect us to keep a clean sheet?
I do. Alan Sheehan, Lloyd Jones, done.
Well, if you believe Twitter, which granted is not the most trustworthy of places, then isn't Lloyd Jones currently self-isolating because of COVID and Alan Sheehan's injured for Saturday?
Shush.
I was just looking at the stats as well, that the Shadipo and Taylor for Oxford have almost combined scored as many goals as we have all season.
Brilliant. That's the kind of stats I brought you here to tell us, Neil.
I genuinely didn't realise. I knew we'd not scored many, but I actually didn't realise we'd scored the least amount of goals in the whole league.
League's upside down, mate.
I see. Yeah, I see what you're doing.
There you go.
Prediction. I can't see anything past a relatively comfortable Oxford victory, despite the two new signings. I think that the risk we've got is we still don't have any creativity. So I don't know who's going to supply Edmondson, and I don't really know who's going to supply Miller either. So it's down to them too. Let's hope they're world beaters. I will go 3-1 Oxford. I think they'll go 3-0 up relatively, you know, after about 60 minutes, and we'll score a consolation. And then Keith, in his post-match interview, will say, well, we acquitted ourselves well and we gave it a good go, but Oxford are a good team.
And that'll be the end of it. Drop mic. Is that what he's going to do? Just drop the mic and walk away from Tim Oglethorpe? I'm done, Tim. See ya.
No, because you know what Tim's like. He'll ask him something ridiculous and it'll go on okay. from there.
Fabulous. Simon, your prediction for Saturday, please.
Yeah, I'm always wary because it's Sixfields hasn't been a happy place for us. I can only remember one game, I think, that I've been to there over the last sort of 10 or 15 years that we've won. But I think and I hope we'll have enough to win the game, and I'm going to say 2-0.
Okay then. Well, I'll let you off. One quick question, though, before we go, Simon. Now that you're in League One, and obviously you've done quite well in League One since you came up in 2016, but have you had to temper your expectations a little bit more and got a bit more realistic and not believe that you're the best team in the league anymore?
Well, I guess if you look at the table at the moment, Michael Appleton might well have been right about that, because he's kind of presiding over the best side in the league at the moment again. So, and to be fair, if he says that his team are the best in League Two, I'm not going to argue with him.
Well, they beat us 4-0 as well. So,
yeah, you're right there, actually. This isn't going well for us, is it, Neil? No. Right, we'll end it before there's tears. Simon, thanks very much for coming on. Just tell us very quickly about the Oxford United podcast that you're involved with, please. Yeah,
it's the Fence End podcast, named after the most famous wooden structure in football. At the car park end. So we haven't had a pod for a little while, so I think we'll wait until after the Northampton game and talk about it then. But so Fence End podcast for anyone that wants to listen.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. And thanks to you, Neil, as well for coming on. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you all again on Tuesday for our look back at the game against Oxford and any other Cobblers related news. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so that you never miss a Cobblers podcast from us. Enjoy the game. Hopefully it'll be a Cobblers win, and who knows, it might even be entertaining.
The cup, there's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division One. Bring them on, because we deserve it.